The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it.
Ben, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
Very, very good. Thank you for having me, Pete. It's a pleasure to talk to you, mate.
Hey, you too. Tell us your story, brother. And
tell us your story. Let's get into it. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Let's get straight into it. Why have you made a stand?
I made a stand because I couldn't not make a stand. You know, it was like, so to back up a little bit, I'm a musician, I'm a writer, I'm a songwriter, I've written a couple of books, I've acted in the past. I'm trying not to act, you know, be thankful really for what's going on in the world, as you are, and are well aware that it's bringing out the best in some of us, and in others, it's bringing up other things. And in all of us, it's bringing up lots of things we have to face. And for me, that was really facing, I guess, some fears that I didn't know I had about being isolated from the music industry. I've always been an independent musician. I've had various opportunities to engage with the music establishment at high levels. And I've sort of always been cautious with that. But making music, and you know, that's my... It keeps me alive, keeps me happy, and I love doing it. So I've been part of certain organisations, and I got emails from a couple of organisations. I'm now in northern New South Wales in the Northern Rivers. I was living in Victoria for many years and was part of various organisations. So that started, I got some emails about these pro... now we can say any word we want on this network, can't we?
Yeah, for sure, mate.
Good. Actually, I know that. So... you know, pro-vaccination and not just make your informed decision, or, you know, we care for you and we're here to back you up, as an organisation should do, in my opinion, for its, you know, its members. And then that escalated, and I got an email with telling me about the campaign called Vax the Nation. And the Vax the Nation campaign was started by the music industry with government backing, no doubt. Do I have physical proof of that? No, but all roads seem to lead that way. And then we know where the money comes from for the government as well. So the music industry was getting behind, is behind a campaign called Vax the Nation, which is using our favourite musicians in Australia to promote vaccinations as the only way out of the lockdowns, which of course is a complete lie. It's erroneous. It's just... another one of the big fibs, because the way out of the lockdown, way back to enjoying live music, is for the government to get out of the way and for the people who want to go out and enjoy live music. So I got this email one morning, it was a sec, and I couldn't believe it. And I clicked through and I looked at all the music bodies, the major labels, the touring agencies, the festivals, all these logos. And I was looking at that, Pete, and I'm like, if I speak up about this, that's it. Forget ever playing for those festivals or getting your music synced through those organizations or, you know, all that. But it was no choice. It was like, well, but I'm not going to be quiet. So I did a post on my website saying, this isn't on. And I came up with the hashtag at that time, Free the Nation, because it was the yin or the yang to the vaccination. And it just seemed so obvious to me that this is what we really want. This is the essence of what we want. We don't want this like fake cure. We want to go to the source, and the source is we want freedom. So Free the Nation. And I invited, I put my name on this blog post, which was on my website, ben-mitchell.com. And I thought, I might be the only name on this website. No one will come and no one will give a shit or care.
Been there before, mate. That's sometimes what I think.
I'm not telling you any experience you haven't had or indeed led the way on, Pete. And thank you so much, mate, because actually, I'll just back up. I had a similar experience when I was living in a small town, Healesville, and I was following all your stuff and you're really enjoying the information and the helpful, positive angle that you have. And curious around me as to why people were bagging this Pete Evans guy out, who's just only helping people. And I went to share a post on Facebook and I thought, wow, as soon as you do that, one of your posts, I thought, and I had the thought, if I do that, I'm outing myself as whatever they label Pete as, they're going to label me as. And I just thought, well, it was a crossing, right? It was a crossroads, and I wasn't going to not do it. And it was like coming out in a way, you know, just sharing your stuff. And that's the madness of the world that we live in, that the message has been obliterated and clouded by this shaming and this vilification that happens to people that don't go along with the narrative. As you said, being there, you're the general or whatever the highest rank is, you know, in our country, and we're all very thankful for you.
So you put your name out as potentially the only one. I love that.
Potentially the only one. And was it scary? In a way, it was. I can still see the images of all those logos. And I'm like, to them, I'm nobody. But by doing this, I'll become somebody they hate or don't want any part of and will make sure no one has any part of. And I thought, well, I'm doing it. And then Lucius from COG, who's a mate up here in the Northern Rivers, he messaged me. He goes, no, all right, Stan, put my name on that list, mate. And then he sent a message out to his mates. A lot of the sort of harder rockers, if you will, jumped on board. And then more of the folk singer-songwriters, which is sort of my genre, the ones with integrity, in my opinion, joined on. And then people from everywhere. And then I got international people asking to put their name on the list. So I'm like, yeah, well, it's the nation of love. You know, it started off as in Australia, but we want to free the nation of love and music and liberation. So that section's growing rapidly too.
Mate, well done. You know what and thanks for the kind words too. It's interesting, you know, I was, over the last year, I've seen that they've used the word disgraced to label me. Disgraced, not only disgraced Pete Evans, but it's disgraced former TV chef. Like, just so anybody knows, like as a chef for 20, 30 years, once upon a time when people became TV chefs or celebrity chefs, that was considered a dirty word in our industry.
Yes.
So like the hardcore chefs would laugh or mock anybody that was on TV or a celebrity chef. So we had to go through our own sort of initiation when we ended up being on television with our peers, because our peers are like, oh, you guys are fucking sold out. You're all the names that you could ever think of, because being a chef is a hardcore vocation. Like, don't care what anybody says, but any chef that's out there, a hospitality worker, will know the amount of pressure, both physical and mental, and potentially spiritual, the pressure that being in that pressure cooker situation for 16, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, has on one's person, which is why many chefs become alcoholics and drug addicts and have yeah. terrible health. But I was reading the other day, disgraced former TV chef, like, and I haven't seen the word disgraced used to describe many people in the media, but last week I saw them use it again to describe a pedophile. I was like, oh fuck, this is interesting. They're using the same terminology to describe me as somebody that fucking has, you know, atrocious things going on in their minds and what they take out. Yes. And all I did was try to help people get healthy. But
you bastard.
What I'd love to go into just now, because what I found so fascinating is the one industry that has been renowned for being anti-establishment, that has, you know, pardon the pun, but walked to the beat of their own drum, is rock stars, musicians, punk rockers, just this whole industry that has been built on being alternative to the mainstream. For the last 18 months, all I've heard is crickets. And what I found really fascinating is the Pearl Jams, the Foo Fighters, these rock bands that have nearly become the poster children or poster boys and girls for the vaccination movement. And I want to ask you, what has happened to the music industry and these individuals or bands? Because I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, yeah, Michael Hutchence would have stood up. You know, I could just feel I was blistered. I drove to from Sid, 9 hours in the car yesterday. I was just listening to In Excess, their early stuff, going, yeah, they would have stood up to this. Midnight Oil would have stood up to this. Hunters and Collectors would have stood up to this. These great Aussie bands would have stood up and made their voices heard, I think, anyway. Mm-hmm. So take me through this whole, your understanding of the music industry over the last 18 months and why there hasn't been this uprising of big voices yet.
In a word, to oversimplify it, greed. If it was a couple words, it'd be greed and status. And the status comes from making sure that you fit into the political narrative, the political social narrative. If we look back at the music industry in Australia, it's largely been shaped by a few powerful individuals, but also by organisations. And ironically, those organisations are government funded. I'm talking about Triple J and ABC Radio. Now, in my game, in the music game, if you got on Triple J, well, fantastic. You know, you were set. You were getting the stamp of approval of the cool tastemakers, as they say. And that could easily lead to bigger shows, supporting, and then, you know, if you're half decent and you had a half decent song, but more importantly, we're getting the approval of the tastemakers, then your career built. ABC, similarly, they have their own record labels as well for country music and other music. So you've got government-controlled tastemakers for the last 20 years, let's say, I'm sure longer, and now there's Double J. So they take the mind of the musician and the music fan, and they make sure that that mind is filled with the words and the views that they want, that they think are valuable. And now where do those views come from? They don't just emerge naturally from creative people. They are shaped. Now, it's a philosophical and spiritual discussion to say, are they shaped by think tanks with political agendas that are funded by a handful of people at the top of some pyramid with an eye on it? Or is it spiritually a manifestation of our desperate need to fit in, so we we keep that desperation creates a constricting, shrinking view of what's okay to say. We can't offend anyone, them, they, all that political correctness that's swamped us now, that yes, boomer, so you're discredited. Yes, you know, you've got nothing to say because you think that way about that issue. You said that once. So the cancel culture. So it's a complex thing. In my mind, it's simple because I've experienced it and I've viewed it and I've been part of it where, oh, I can't say that now. Or you can't write a song about that. Or that's you used to be able to do comedy about that. No, you can't do comedy about that. You know, like the whole, this shrinking of what's acceptable discourse. And until, if you go outside, you will be labelled disgraced. The disgraced former independent singer-songwriter or, you know, whatever they do. So the funding, the musicians are funded by the organisations that tell them what to think. The music fans are then follow their heroes. And that was what was so damaging to me about the vaccination campaign, is that there's a lot of vulnerable, impressionable people out there, younger people especially, who are going to be swayed by these musicians saying, vaccination, you know, get the jab, it's the only way back to normal, when it's not true, when they don't know the risks that are involved. And how dare they, how dare a musician tell you, what if they were saying, get some heroin, what a buzz I had. I don't do it anymore, but you should go through it too, right? And in a way, they sort of do by sharing those stories. But it's the same thing. How can you recommend someone to do something that's so that's already proving to be so dangerous and deadly to some people? So, but to answer your question, yeah, it's multifaceted, but at the end of it, greed and fear of standing out and being your own voice.
Mm. I've got a friend that has he's got a daughter that is an up-and-coming Australian artist, and he was told by the record company, because they knew about his views, that his daughter can't say anything about X, because they knew her views too.
Yeah.
Basically, they said it will destroy her career if she mentions what she believes in, or if she's associated with her father's beliefs too.
Yeah.
And
if she's associated with her father, sorry.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I had a chat with him probably about halfway through the pandemic, and he was mentioning that it's going to be, you know, her career is about to take off. She's about to travel through the world if she couldn't travel. And I said to him, I said, can you not see this as an opportunity here? I said, for the last 9 months and into the future, isn't this the perfect ripe environment for the creative artists to be creating content at the moment, to be flexing their muscle of whether they're writers, whether they're documentary makers, whether they're singer-songwriters, whether they're in a band? I said, now is the perfect time to be expressing through your creative outlet anthems, songs, poetry, whatever it is, to engage an audience that is feeling so lost and so vulnerable and even angry at the same time about what is happening. And it's been 18 months or more now, and I've seen a few songs come out, like I could list them on my hand. Not great ones yet. I mean, the Rolling Stones was probably the most popular one. It was a terrible song.
That was Pro, wasn't it?
It was about the lockdowns and Bill Gates or something. It was terrible.
I think it was ironic trying to say that they were making fun of people who were making fun of Bill Gates.
Oh, is that
what I got from it? Yeah.
It was shit anyway. My perception. Yeah. But I'm so surprised that it seems like what you were saying, the comedians have come in, like, this is the perfect time to be a comedian. Like, I've had JP Sears on and Brent Peller on the podcast, and they're thriving at the moment. They've found their niche in the silence to really elevate their craft. And I want to ask you this, and how many others in your profession have you seen take this opportunity to create content that really resonates with this peculiar and terrifying time in human history? And how's your creative process been through this as well?
My creative process has been unstoppable since the beginning, really. I did write a song in about February of 2020. Is that when we started this nonsense? It was about February, March. It's okay, you will be all right, as I sense this stuff coming on. And but I didn't release it. And I got a great friend to play bass on it in England, an American drummer, and it sounded really good. And I'm like, but I was sort of waiting. I'm like, oh, someone famous is going to come out with something, you know, just hold on, Ben, you know. Waited, nothing came out. I'm like, no, someone will come up with something. And, you know, I'll release mine soon, I don't know. But anyway, that didn't happen. I ended up writing a whole album on top of that, Are You Gonna Be Free? I'm still writing now. To answer your question, how many, like, there's 154 musicians on our website at the moment from around the world, and almost all of them are writing about what's going on now. One of them has got a number one hit on the rap, hip-hop, iTunes charts in America at the moment, Jimmy Levy with This Is a War. Now, if you haven't heard that, have you heard that track?
I haven't yet, no.
So you will. It's on our playlist. So we've got playlist, freethenationmusic.com playlist, playlist on Spotify at the moment where we're still allowed to be. I was recently deplatformed from Bandcamp, so they've removed me mostly from most of my outlets. But this is a cultural revolution, and that's what, and it's a musical revolution. This is like the 60s again, but better and perhaps even more authentic in my view in some ways. And we're on the cutting edge. And I got so excited after that. So after that moment of feeling like I'm dead to the music world, it's dead to me, and I'm this little one name on a list going, I don't like what you're doing. I reckon that's rude. Is a good Australian word. I turned around and people started sending me music and they wanted their name on the list. And then I had playlists. And I've got playlists in all genres. We've got hip hop playlists, you know, pop, folk. There's a country. There's an international eclectic one for things that, you know, a bit. But there's hundreds of songs now that I love listening to, and music's come back to me because so many, like, people were posting on our Instagram channel how disappointed they were at artists like Midnight Oil and other big Australian names, Paul Kelly, who've come out supporting this vaccination, and, you know, not just putting their name to it, but saying, come on, let's go do this. It's hard for me to even comprehend how that happened, how that change happened. Then you remember the political involvement of Peter Garrett or whatever, and all that. But people are, music fans are just, a lot of, as you touched on, are just in despair, and they need that spoken to. We as musicians feel it. We have an impulse and intuition that we want to write about something. It's often personal, but it's often also something that's in our culture that we can sense, and that's what we're responding to. All these musicians are really on the cutting edge, and I have no doubt, because it's already happening, that bigger names are joining this list. Some are doing that work anyway. Eric Clapton, Van Morrison are out there. They're not officially on our list yet, but I just haven't been able to get to them, and they're already getting, you know, supporting the movement in their own ways. But I really believe that bigger names will come. And I'm not even, I was chasing them. I'd sent personal messages to pretty much every name you can, well, not every name, but plenty that I thought were ripe. Artists that do seem political, socially political in Australia especially and internationally. And crickets, like you heard, I heard. And excuse me. I understand. If I was in their position and I was surrounded by people telling me, don't you come out like your friend's daughter, because, you know, it's suicide, they'll Pete Evans you, you know. I really think people are so aware of that, and that's why you're such such a hero and will go down in history as being the one that put it on the line just to stay true to yourself and showed us that sticks and stones and all that and the threats, et cetera, they can't stop us being our best self and sharing our truth. because so many, all these artists, they're not in touch with their truth anymore, I feel. They don't know what integrity is. They're being integral to a political ideal outside of themselves, not to their hearts. They want that gig. I recently I was at a dinner party and I got some inside information about a musician that was offered $60,000 to have their track used in the campaign for the vaccination. Now, this musician, like lots of us, hasn't done a gig or many gigs in 18 months, but they still turned it down. And that tweet and that Instagram, I reposted it, got such a great response because that's what people want. They want people to stand up. I was talking to another friend last night, one of the musicians, Jock Barnes. He's our new Barnesy. See, we've got a new Barnesy. It's all right. He's great. He was talking about psychological idea that there's like 20% of any idea, 20% of people will commit to the pro and 20% will commit to the negative. And then you've got 60% in the middle who don't want to go either way. They don't want to commit because I don't want to be isolated. And that's what I feel in this country and in the world, is where there's this battle between the pro and the negative, the pro-freedom, the pro-choice, the pro-tyranny, the pro-government, the big pharmaceutical, the money, the greed. And the people in the middle are going, Unfortunately, a lot of those people in the middle are watching TV, which is relentless. They are listening to radio, which is relentless in its controlled narrative. We know, what is it, 5 or 6 companies own everything, and maybe it goes down to 2 at the top anyway. So the message is so strong, come to the dark side. but I believe in the hearts. I have to. I don't know. I'm a father. I look at my children. I know what they sense is right, you know, and good in the world. And we just need to just get in touch with that. And that's why I'm so proud. I'm happy that there's so many musicians that have joined this movement that are putting their name to it, and saying we can create a new world that has freedom as a value.
Mate, congratulations and well done for standing up. I think I'm okay to say this, but I was on a Zoom call this week, just a couple of days ago, with some of the most well-known athletes in the world. And they are about to, or they've formed a group, and they're about to step up in the coming weeks or months. And they invited me to be a part of it, which was beautiful. And as you said, they used me as the example, you know. They'll Pete Evans you, basically. So they invited me to be a part of that just so I could jump on board to show them. And when I was on the Zoom, I said, you know, the worst thing they can do is take your money, take your house, take your career, but you can still stand up. You can still stand up if you're willing to be yourself. And it was interesting listening to them all have a chat about that afterwards, saying that some of the younger sporting people, they don't have the opportunity to lose their contract, lose their income. I'm like, well, they're probably going to lose it in the coming years anyway. So you stand up now or you lose it down the track anyway. So it's fascinating. But I guess what I wanted to tell you is, This now seems to be the time that people are about to come out as a movement like you've created. And it just takes one person to stand up and then form that movement. So I know that over the coming months we're going to see some big names continue to stand up and form groups, which is, so they can't pick you off one by one. Like they did with me, but
they'll have to get a machine gun, mate. They had a sniper rifle for you. That was easy pickings. We could hashtag him out into oblivion. No worries. But to your credit, you've risen and stayed up. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I actually got a little bit emotional when you were sharing that about the sports, the athletes, and that, you know, that inside information, if you will, and what we're sharing too is a sort of inside information. It's a network that you've created that we get to communicate with people who are of like minds or are in that 60% and wanting to listen to non-edited narratives between living men and women who are speaking from their hearts about what they're experiencing. Yes, it's I'm not a young musician. I'm not ancient. I'm a great manifester, and I believe in the power of our language.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.